thought we had gone through an exercise at the end of last year as a leadership team to kind of set the tone for our vision as a church. We gathered about 15 of us probably together to talk about that. And so just to give you a little bit of context, I just want to give a little bit of context around that. In about the turn of the last century, sounds cool to say, hey, you know, about the turn, so about, you know, 99, 2000, Gibran and I with a young family, we really started to get a burden on our heart that the Lord was calling us to go out and do something. That the Lord was calling us to maybe just see the kingdom established in a bit broader way, probably within the context of a church setting, but we didn't know what that was or where that was to be. And that began a process of kind of probably, you know, if we're honest, trial and error, where we began to step out into things and kind of go, oh, okay, well, that's not it. And then, so, you know, we did a few things in California. We had some good friends who went on sort of a missionary outreach to Scotland. We thought, perfect, we're supposed to go with them. The Lord firmly shut that door and said, no. But through a series of events, the Lord made it very clear. And a lot of that was prophecy, and a lot of that was through the word and the inclination of our heart. But through that time, it became very clear that the Lord wanted us to come to New Zealand. Now, we came to that conviction, and then all the doors opened. And at that time, it was quite difficult to immigrate to New Zealand, and we felt like if we went somewhere, we wanted to be there for the long haul. Like, we weren't just going to come on, like, the 3-year ministry visa or whatever. We were coming for the long haul. So we stepped out, like I say, the Lord opened every door. Within 3 years, we were citizens of this great nation, so stoked. And, you know, long story short, the Lord has established us. But as we came here, it became clear that the Lord had launched us from sort of one garden, if you will, and was planting us in another one. And so I think it was very important that Gibran and I come with personal vision, as to some extent we were sort of the impetus of what was going on here. We had sort of started off what was going on specifically here in Rotorua. After a short season in Auckland, helping to build a church there, we came down here and the Lord, I think, you know, it's fair to say, sort of used us as an impetus here. But one of the things I think we have to be super careful about is what we would call cult leadership. Yeah, and not to say that we're a cult, okay? You know, my mother's opinion aside. You know, it is cult leadership, and that means that sort of, you know, in a very simple way, it means that through like a dynamic, usually tall, fairly good-looking person, whoever that might be, you know, we can sort of, we leave everything up to one individual, or we just get in the habit of kind of just following. Now, here's the thing. The group that I kind of grew up in, the tradition that I came from in ministry, was super comfortable with that idea. And I'm not saying it's bad, and I'm not... Okay, I'm saying it's bad, okay? I'm saying it's wrong. But the reality is it's all I knew. And one of the things that the Lord made clear after a short season was, one, that doesn't work in the long haul. And two, it creates a very narrow group of people who are forced to be molded into the image of a leader rather than the image of Jesus. Okay, I need you to hear that. They're forced to be molded into the image of a leader rather than the image of Jesus. Okay, if you all start using words like "you all," we've got a problem. Okay, it's "use." That's the proper Kiwiism in it. Okay, and it's not. I don't expect you guys to be. You know, if you guys all start talking with American accents, we have got a problemo. But we, you know, what became clear is as the Lord brought, you know, Barbara and her fauna along. As the Lord brought Katrina and Jeremy, as the Lord brought that sort of that essence of that, you know, that core group that came along in the early days, a couple things became clear. One thing that became super clear is that these folks who came along were way more gifted than me in certain areas. And I had a choice then. And don't we? Whenever we notice that, we have a choice, don't we? We either stuff that thing down and steer the church away from those giftings, or we just, you know, just fall into it and just let it happen. And so as we sort of saw that, it became clear that we needed to make the garden that we had here, it had to be different. It had to be a native garden, if you will. Okay, don't ever be free. I didn't say a garden of natives, okay? I remember an old Kamatua came up to me years ago, and he said, don't use the word natives. Okay. But it had to be a native garden. It had to be a garden from here. It had to be a garden that was specific to this place. And so, you know, when my wife and I came, we were very cognizant. We definitely realized that you have to have a vision. There has to be a vision when you come somewhere. You know, here's, you know, why? Why do you need a vision? Habakkuk sums it up. I think one of the, you know, anytime a church, a group of people who are Christians talk about vision, we will bring up Habakkuk chapter 2. And the reality is that the reason you need a vision, Habakkuk says, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. Now here's the thing. Why? So that, you know, when you have you, I don't know, if you guys ever get out, I get out in the bush a lot. I love the New Zealand bush. What I have learned in my time in the New Zealand bush is the idea of a track. You have to do that when you say it. It's like on the map, it shows it like it's a yellow brick road. You know what I mean? Like, this should be totally clear. And like, you spend your time going, I don't have a clue where we are. You know, you're looking for those little orange triangles. Do any of you guys ever get out in the bush? You're all looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe it's clear to you guys. You just grow up with it, okay? But for me, I get out there and half the time I'm like, dude, we're lost, bro. I, you know, set off the emergency beacon, you know? You don't move very fast when you don't know where you're going. You kind of move, you're like, I guess, you know? And my boys know this well because they've been in the bush with me a lot, okay? But when you have a clear track, when you know where you're going, man, you can move with purpose. And so that people may run, so that people may take ground quickly, you want to have a clear vision. Now, the place that we came from, the tradition that we came from, basically said, the way you set a vision is you just sort of, you know, pick a verse that has a heart of kind of what you want to see within your group of people, your ministry, and go with that. That's not necessarily a bad way to pick a vision. I don't think that's a bad thing. And that's definitely what we came here with. But the reason, you know, that you should have a vision rather than should not is because where there are no vision, the people perish. And I think that the reality is what happens is we get a little wayward if we don't have the focus of a vision. So following along with the tradition of our father, if you will, what we did when we came to New Zealand is my wife and I believe this was quite divine. I think the Lord was speaking to us where we were at. He gave us a vision. Like I say, same day, he gave the same verse to both my wife and I. And that was Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Now, many of you know that the entity, the trust that we have created here in New Zealand to sort of be the umbrella for our ministries here is the Ezra 7:10 trust. So I still think that this is very valid to where we're at, but this is where we came from. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. And so what the Lord was saying, he said, Scott, threefold you're going to do when you go to New Zealand. You're going to seek it, you're going to do it, and you're going to teach it. You're going to seek it, you're going to do it, you're going to teach it. We have a three-paneled painting back there that basically is built sort of around that idea. Seek it, do it, teach it. That's the vision that Jabron and I came with. And I think we sort of felt like, okay, man, that's the vision until the Lord comes again. You know, we're gonna stick with that. But as we've gathered around this team, as people have come in, as we've realized that ministry is not done from a cultic perspective, ministry is done as a team in relationship with people who have different facets as they look at the Lord. A facet, something that reflects the Lord in a slightly different way. And so what we realize is that, man, what we have to do is we need to actually get our team together. And a lot of you guys know Israel Hawkins, comes along every now and then and has done some ministering to our church, and a few of us here work with him in doing some community stuff. But Israel has a real gift in developing like vision statements and whatnot for groups, whether they be schools or entities or NGOs or government groups or companies. And we went through this process in one of the collectives that we are working with Israel. And I thought, we need to do this as a church. We need to do this as a church. And you know, so really what we did is we sat down end of last year, and we basically said, look, maybe it's the beginning of this year, we went through this process to give ourselves as an entity, as a church, our vision. Totally valid for Jabron and I to come in with a vision, because when we first got here, it was us. You know, the only convert we had was a dog, you know, that was the only one who was from here. You know, and so we had to have something to work off of. But now we've developed something as a team. We've developed something with input from here that will take us into the next season of life. So I'm just going to take you quickly through that process we went through and what we came out of it with, just so you understand that really, and there's a lot of flexibility here, guys, but in general, this is kind of where we're going. We want you guys to understand so you can be a part of it. So when we talk about a vision or a philosophy, a way of doing life, a culture that we want to set, this is sort of how we went through it, okay? Three aspects to it, okay? Vision, mission, and values. So three aspects to what we're talking about. There's a vision, a mission, and values. So the vision is what is the result of your work in 5 years. So in other words, within the next 5 to 10 years, what's the result of what you want to see? Now, this is to be a descriptive statement. We're not looking to describe the service or what we're doing, the ministry that we're taking part in. We're looking to say, where do we want this to be in 5 to 10 years? It's to be brief, but it's also to allow for flexibility, and then this is going to become our aim. So people can say, well, Scott, I don't know if that's biblical. Vision, mission, values, these sound like pretty secular words. Well, look, fine. Basically what this is a way for us to understand what we're doing biblically. So in other words, we can say, well, we want everybody in the world to know Jesus. That's an awesome goal. But I don't know if that's focused enough for us to actually step out and start churning away at. So, vision. What is the result of where you're going to be in 5 years? Mission. How are you going to achieve the result? How are you going to achieve the result? When you look at mission, basically, you're not supposed to describe the result of the ministry. You're supposed to describe of how you will achieve the result. So in other words, do you desire, as a church, as a Christian, as a believer, do you have results that you want to see come about in the city of Rotorua, in your family, in your own personal life? Okay, my wife does. Awesome. I'd say for most of us, yeah, we have results that we want to see. We have things that we want to pursue. And this is helping us to run. So you're not looking for those little orange triangles in the bush. Is that what? Oh, I think, oh, no, maybe, well, you know, you can move with authority towards it. This becomes your action of the vision. These are going to be verb statements. And then finally, values. What do you want people to leave with after meeting you? And I think this is important. Look, as a church, as a group of believers, this is going to say what's important to us. This is going to say what's important to us. I think that, you know, the reason there's not one group of believers meeting this morning in the city of Rotorua is because each group of believers, whether they realize it or not, have a different set of values. And look, ultimately, is Jesus Christ the value? Yeah. Honestly, some people, I kid you not, I'm not telling it, this is true. Some people really like hymns and only hymns. Sung a cappella in church. Okay, I kid you not. Has anybody ever been to one of those churches? Okay, yeah, you're just like, I sit there, I'm like, you know, I'm like, is this a joke? You know, like, okay, I shouldn't say that. But, you know, what's my point? My point is that they have a different value. Some people like to have just a lot of, they define Greek words and Hebrew words the whole time, and they take you through 37 points, and they want to make sure that you are understanding an academic understanding of the Bible. Others, if you're not crying, they're not having a good Sunday. You know, others, man, they're somewhere maybe a little further afield than us, and they just get crazy. Different values. And that's fine. Remember, there's one church, if you will, of Rotorua. Whether we realize it or not, there's one church of Rotorua, but it has many different facets that meet in different places. And the hope is, with the different values that we have, that when we come together, we make a complete picture. Okay, so the vision is, what is the result of your work within 5 to 10 years? And that's why every once in a while, every couple years, we're going to need to kind of redo this. But at the same time, how are we going to get there? Well, that's what the mission's going to be. And then what do we want people, what's the aroma, what's the flavor we want people to leave with? So I just want to set that context. So for us, our vision, as we got together as a team, and we're in the process, we've had this translated, all the vision, mission, and values into Māori. And this is our vision. The vision that we have, where we want to see our church and our city in the next 5 to 10 years, is we want to see Spirit-filled lives, empowered whānau, and transformed communities. Okay, is there anybody who disagree with that? I want to see people who have their lives filled with the Holy Spirit, understanding their gifting, understanding their calling. I want to see whānau that become empowered to fulfill the things that God has called them to. And I want to see communities transformed. There's places I go in this city that need transformation. Okay? Actually, almost everywhere I go. I think there's some areas, some communities that hide it better. But ultimately, this is the vision. Spirit-filled lives, empowered whānau, transformed communities. This is what we're trying to tick away at over the next 5 to 10 years. Now, there's going to be a lot of different ways that we do that. This is, I believe that this vision statement is flexible enough to actually make room, make space for a lot of people and a lot of ministry, but it still keeps us focused enough to be moving in the right direction or in a unified direction. Now, and once again, not lost in this super broad spectrum of the world knowing Jesus. I know some churches, you know, their heart is not really for community transformation. That's cool. I got no problem with that. But for me, for our leadership, we feel that if the church stays within the four walls, if the only transformation we see is within these four walls, I believe we're failing. Okay? I want to make that clear. If the only transformation that we see in people's lives or in the world in general, the only place that we pull heaven to earth, if it's within these four walls and only there, we have failed. We have to see it when we leave this place in our fawn house, in the families. We have to see it in the community around us as we go out with our gifts, taking people and helping them transform. Now, the next question, how are we going to do that? That's where we come into mission. Our mission is equipping the saints through relationships, worship, and the ascension gifts. Now, I think for us as a church, this is probably the most defining portion of what we're talking about. Our conviction is that the job of the church is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The question is, how do you do that? Okay, there's some churches, and the interesting thing is it seems to work for them. There's some churches that have very hierarchical, almost personality-driven ministry, and I see what's going on, and it seems to work for them. Everybody kind of gathers around an individual, and that's cool if that works for them. For us, I think what we started to realize is to get the broadness of what God wanted for us, we had to gather not based on doctrine, not based on an individual or a personality. We needed to fellowship. We needed to get together based on relationship. Now, when you decide to do life with people based on relationship, guess what? It's okay to disagree with them. When you were growing up, maybe you are still growing up, did your family live in perfect harmony all the time? Rob? Yeah? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, awesome. Okay, Rob's did. All right. Leonie did it? When Dad was home. Amen. Awesome. Good answer. The reality is, sometimes in families, we don't agree on things all the time. You know, half the people, I'm going to go watch the rugby. I don't care about rugby. You know, it's nobody, you know, we don't have 100% agreement, but we are in relationship with each other. So we decided that we weren't going to you need to be saved by grace alone, through faith alone, through Jesus Christ alone. We're not going to quibble sort of the foundational portions of the traditional Christian faith. But at the same time, man, I want to grow from the different ideas that are around me. I want to be able to dialogue about those things with respect for one another. And it might actually make me a bigger person who understands more about God if I enter into it that way. Whereas if I give people 37 questions when they show up and say, okay, you need to tick off on each one of these and make sure you agree with it. And if you don't, I'm sure there's another heretical church down the road. We've got some good differing and good ideas here. The other thing that's a real important thing to us as a fellowship and a mantle for us as a fellowship, like I say, not the same for every church, is that idea of worship. And when I'm talking about worship, I know there's a lot of definitions. I'm specifically talking about worship and song. We believe that that is that sort of, that's the front line of what we're doing. Do we believe in the preaching of the Word of God? Yes. Do we believe in the study of the Bible? Yes. Do we believe in fellowship? Yes. The reality is, though, for us, we believe that the foundation of our warfare, of what we're doing, the front line of what we're doing, is in worship. And we're beginning to explore that more and allow the Lord to unpack that for us. But relationship, worship, and then the ascension gifts. Now, the ascension gifts, to make it very brief, Ephesians chapter 4, read the chapter if you want to know what the ascension gifts are. The ascension gifts are the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who are set in the body of Christ through relationship to, not through hierarchy, through relationship to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Those are the ascension gifts. They're called the ascension gifts because in that chapter we're told that Jesus ascended to give good gifts to men. These gifts, it would see at least in part, are the ascension gifts: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the saints. Now, we've gone through and defined that a little more in previous times, and we'll do it subsequent to here. But suffice to say, right now, that's what the ascension gifts are. So the way that we're going to do what we want to do is we're going to equip the saints through relationship, worship, and the ascension gifts. Oh, also, we were told that it could only be like 7 to 9 words. So the ampersand right there, that's not a word. That's a symbol. Okay, just so we're clear. All right. Values. What's the aroma? What's the flavor we want people to leave with us once they've hung out with us? Well, this is what we came up with: to experience hope, acceptance, identity, freedom, and love through passionately encountering Jesus. So when people come here, look, people are going to go to other churches and they may experience like a security within the traditional service that they have. And some people dig that. I've got relatives that are super into that. They really like to know exactly what's going to happen every week. Some churches you go to and you just know that, man, I'm just going to get my head filled with knowledge the whole time going there. Other churches you're going to go to, and you're going to go, man, I'm just going to have the most emotional, crazy experience, just opening my heart to God through it. Praise the Lord. For us, this is what we want people to leave with. This is the values. We want people to experience hope. That there's hope. As we talked as a group, as people who have had fauna within this community for centuries, one of the things that we agreed on is that one of the greatest areas of lack in Rotorua is hope. Guys, when people come here, I want them to experience hope. When they hang out with you, when they hang out with me, I want them to know that there's hope in Jesus. Acceptance. You know, man, Jeremy was praying for me this morning. And he just goes, Scott, and he just looked at me and he just hugged me. And he just goes, man, I'm so glad God made us brothers. Like, dude, that's what I come to church for. You tracking with me? Because what that is that's acceptance. And Jeremy knows me warts and all. Like, he's driven with me and people cut me off, you know, and I'm like, plug your ears, Jeremy. And I'm like, he's like, no, I don't read lips real well, but I couldn't, you know. Anyways, you know, we want to be accepted. And here's the thing, guys, as you come into understanding who you are in Christ, that should open your capacity to accept other people. That should open your capacity to reach out. Because when people come through that door, most of them, and they won't say it because they're tough, right? I remember when some of y'all came to church, you know? Yeah, you guys were tough. You know, and it's like they come, but there's a vulnerability just underneath the surface, eh? Just underneath the surface, that titanium exterior with the marshmallow, you know, the mallow puff interior, you know? And it's like they just want to be loved. They want to be accepted. They want to know that they have a place where they can be accepted. Once again, we've spoken so much in the last season about identity, about knowing who you are in Christ, about having that understanding. And identity opens you up to so much more, to the ability to accept other people. Freedom. I think that the bondage and lies that surround the body of Christ are what stop us from actually being effective in so many ways. Once again, love, the greatest of these is love. That this is all going to happen. You're going to experience hope, acceptance, identity, freedom, and love through passionately encountering Jesus. I think it was Aaron who threw in the passionately encountering. We're like, through encountering Jesus, which kept us on our word count, you know, so it could be like right. And then Aaron's like, no, it's not just encountering Jesus. It's got to be passionately encountering Jesus. And we were all like, I mean, it threw me off because the word count was wrong then. But everybody else was like, yeah, passionately, you know. So basically, we felt like we didn't just want people to come in and be like, yeah, you know, I think, yeah, Jesus, you know, he was, yeah, it seemed like he was there. That's what we're shooting for. That's what we want people to leave here with. So I just, you know, once again, vision, spirit-filled lives, empowered Fawnout, transformed communities. That's what we want to see in the next 5 to 10 years. That's what we're working towards in the next season. How are we going to do that? Through equipping the saints to relationship, worship, and the ascension gifts. Now, yeah, values to experience hope, acceptance, identity, freedom, and love through passionately encountering Jesus. So basically, I've sort of broken this down, the vision, the mission, the values. That's the big picture. That's the big background. You'll notice that I quickly had these made up so that they're hanging as you come into church. We're going to get these around a little bit more. We're going to make things that you can, if you want to download off the website so that you can just throw those up on your refrigerator or whatever. But basically, what this comes down to in three words, like you understand the broader context of this, but if I was to put it into three words, it's empowering, equipping, experiencing. Whakamanahia, whakararire, and whakamatua. Empowering, equipping, and experiencing. So for us, that's sort of what we're working into our, you know, DNA, to use that sort of term we've been talking about a lot lately. That once again, I believe that this is, you know, I totally appreciate the fact that, you know, as Israel sort of came along and took us through this, yeah, he takes a lot of secular groups through this. He takes a lot of, you know, secular companies through this, a lot of government agencies through it. But I felt there was a value to it for us as a church to just, once again, there was a need to evolve what we were doing past what Gibran and I brought. And I'm not saying that was a bad thing, what Gibran and I brought, but I'm saying that there was a need for this to be owned here. I mean, and not to get into the details we've talked about in the past, that's also why we had to have a bit of a name change as well, because we needed to do something that was parochial to here. So going forward for the next season, this is where we're at. This is what we want to see in the next season. This is how we want to do it. And this is the flavor that we want people to have once they've come into contact with us. And guys, I don't think there's, it's not a limiting thing. You know, don't think like, oh, I'd like to go do this. Oh, golly, that doesn't seem to be pushing us towards spirit-filled, you know, empowered Fawnout. You know, don't think that way. The reality is we've talked about having, you know, we have the vision statement, which is sort of for the whole church, and then we have a general mission statement, but we're talking about each group that we have, if you will, each group that not only that we have, but that what we want to see within the church having their own mission statement. In other words, pushing towards that same vision statement. What's your mission? You know, we want this for the worship team, children's church, the young adult ministry, missions and outreach, pastoral and inreach, the creative team that I'd love to see started. We want them to each have a mission statement that says, hey, in support of that vision, here's how we're going to do it. And the thing is, it's not meant to limit people, but it is meant to help focus people. So look, experiencing or empowering, equipping, and experiencing. That's going to be some of what we're building our DNA around. But please don't let this be a limiting thing. I have three children who all share the exact same DNA. Amen? They could not be more different in attitude, aptitude, and physical characteristics, okay? So there's broadness within this. And the challenge for you is, man, what is the wonderful portion of what you're going to bring in? Okay.